John in Longmeadow. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
I got a nickname for him, Chad GBT, for greatest GBT, greatest comeback ever.
We're going to get there.
GCE?
GT, Chad GTB, greatest turnaround, greatest. Shoot.
All right. Well, hey, workshopping that one, John. Yeah. It's working on that one.
Much like the season, it was a work in progress. You'll get there.
But hey, what do you think to his point, though, Brad Foe? Just
Hey, don't you do that.
They won 50 in a row, Steve. Come on.
Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Dude, it sounded good when I was with my boys last night. Chad GPT.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure out what he was trying to say, but...
Greatest possible turnaround is what we came up with.
Greatest possible... OP, OP, okay, okay. I thought he said B for some reason. Okay, good. Greatest possible turnaround. Okay. Very nice, sir. That was a fantastic call. It is Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. And just like that, gentlemen, you can give us your opinions and your greatness here at 617-779-7937. You can also listen to us on the old Odyssey app. You just press that microphone button. And you can leave us a message. We play it later on the show. We launch them take grenades probably around like 5:15 or so. Gentlemen, how are we feeling today after the big crash of a streak finally broken? Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I'm optimistic. You know, I know they eventually had to lose, right? I mean, they did.
Nope, didn't have to.
They didn't.
Wasted
okay,
it. Should have been Bayo. Should have gone baby him? Pedro right out of the shoe.
Well, I mean, look, but that's something we got to talk about. Is Bayo going to be their undoing? I mean, they should still be fine without Brian Bayo, but the starter thing for Brian Bayo, it's crazy. But anyway, nonetheless, it's over. And what I like is there's a really good article from Alex Speer kind of maybe giving a little bit more explanation, more clarity into maybe, just maybe, what was the more reason for this turnaround. And it really highlights your guy, Rich, Chad Tracy. So we got to get into that article and maybe and give him some flowers. I needed more concrete kind of evidence or reasons for why Chad Tracy is responsible for this turnaround, and we're starting to maybe get that in this article, so that's exciting. It'll be good to talk about. But hey, it's a great run. Now what do they do with getting back into the game? Can they handle being now the hunted as opposed to the hunter? That's what I'm curious about.
Hey, by the way, Ted, you said my guy. Listen, it's our guy. I'm not going to take all the credit of that. I think all three of us knew when that guy walked in studio the first time. We're like, he's got it. He's got that thing. He's got that moxie.
We wavered, though. I mean, let's be honest. I had him traded to the Yankees. Bradford's right about that. And we have to play this Contreras audio. I didn't want to sully the winning streak. But when Contreras is asked about Tracy, his reaction, I think, is fascinating. So maybe later in the show we'll get to that.
Was this postgame?
This was a couple days ago. Okay. I mean, everybody's been asked, you know, what was the turnaround and what do you think of this, what do you think of that? So Contreras was asked what he thinks of Chad Tracy. And his you want to just play it now?
If you want to play now, we can. Or you want to go in? You know what? Let's get some sports that happened, right, shall we? Let's see.
What happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes. And Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. The streak is dead. Long live the streak, Stiz.
Here's Duran, who lines one to second, caught by Holiday, and the ball game is over. So the win streak ends at 15, and they do.
A lot of these fans are clapping as the Red Sox come off the field.
And they should. What a run it's been, and we got a season again.
Yep, the Chad Tracy turnaround, one hell of a ride from 10th place in the AL wild card, 6 games out to 3rd place and 2 games up. Listen, last night, as you guys were saying, sucked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I kept thinking about it, too. Like, how awful would it be to be Eduardo Rivera? You're this, like, rookie who started the year in Portland with history on the line. It depends on whether you choke or not out there. Well, he choked. four runs, didn't make it to the end of the first inning, and now, sadly, he's back in Worcester. I mean, just what a huge thing to put on this guy's shoulders, but, you know, they thought that he could take it.
Was it Eduardo Rivera that was also the kind of the fluffer for him the last time?
Yeah.
And that didn't go so well the last time they tried this.
His first outing in this stretch, he had three scoreless. And then they trotted him out, and Bayo had to bail him out in one start. One didn't work.
This one didn't work. Okay.
Well, it was nice to see Bayo bail him out this time. I mean, he was it was one of the things that you see all the time. Someone started the game and put in a big hole. This is where the guy shines the most. Five scoreless in relief, but no help from the usually explosive bats. You know what? This was, and kind of getting to what you were talking about, Ted, I think that the coolest thing about the game last night was that reportedly – Chad Tracy went in to address the team post-game and found Contreras and Gray already giving the speech.
Yes.
So he stepped back and let the veterans run it. And I guess Gray's point was to appreciate how rare a run like this is. And Contreras did the we can beat anybody theme, which really, to be quite honest, fits both of their personalities.
You know, I liked that the players realized that was an opportunity to kind of put a bow on it. Like, it's over, all right? Like just kind of encapsulate it, acknowledge it, and then – what do we do from here? I like that's awareness from those veteran guys.
Yeah, that was cool when I read about that. But here's Chad Tracy afterwards talking about the end of the streak.
We just won 15 games in a row, and I think all of us knew that that's going to end at some point. It just happened to end tonight, so they're already refocused. I wanted to go in and talk to the team, and Sonny and Wilson were already handling it. I'll leave that message for in there. The focus is there now on, you know, that's behind us. And the big thing is if we continue to play baseball that way, regardless of how many wins in a row, we're going to win a heck of a lot more than we lose. So that's the focus now. But, no, I think everybody knew, it's going to end at some point. It happened to end tonight, and now we got to refocus.
Okay, there was something that was bugging me last night, and maybe either of you two can explain this to me. They kept saying that Fenway last evening drew the biggest regular season home crowd since 2016, 38,005 people.
That was in the Sox game notes.
Wow. Okay, does that mean that Fenway has not sold out since 2016? Because isn't there a finite number of tickets in a sold-out game? You can't sell more than sold out, can you?
I think they call it sellouts even when there's 36.
I guess 37,055 is an official sellout, but they have extra standing room or, you know, they work people in. Mm-hmm. And there's different night and day attendance, too. So
a sellout isn't a sellout?
Right. There are various shades of sellout.
Unless you sell out, Rich, then you did sell out.
Okay, then stop calling it a sellout. That drove me crazy. It's just since 2016, this is the most we've had. I'm hang on. I know you've said you've sold out a bunch of times. You can't credit for that. You're not sold out. You can fit people in there.
Yeah, you round it up. You know, sometimes you got to round it up.
All right, sure. They just stack people on top of each other in the bathroom,
right.
I guess, to get in there. By the way, tickets on the secondary market for last night's game, if you guys saw that, were stupid. It was not even great seats were $260.
Yeah,
in the bleachers.
Witness history, They had a chance, they fell short.
But doesn't that give you a little insight into the Boston populace, the fan base? I mean, they will come. If you put a good product there, they show up. They're not going to necessarily tolerate losers anymore. I mean, that era is over, even for the Red Sox or probably the Patriots. You know, we saw that in their lull. But it's a we'll support you if you're a winner town, and you got to respect that.
Or you're trying to win, or just giving the appearance that you're trying to win, or just showing you got some heart and that you care. You don't have to blow us away. Just give us the best you got. And we know when you're playing at your best and when you're not, and when you're trying to position yourself to be the best. This team finally was starting to play at a level which people can appreciate in this town.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, Ted, is that was one of the first things that I remember we talked to Chad Tracy about. We said, these guys, a lot of them don't even know what it's like to win at Fenway Park and how unbelievable it can be. And I heard Chad Tracy talking about that with Greg Hill yesterday morning, and he was basically saying, at the beginning of the season, these guys just couldn't understand what they're seeing right now. This was something that was possible. And now that it's there, and you know this, Ted, when you're on a winning team, it's a drug. You get addicted to this kind of feeling. Boy. When the crowd is behind you. It is that, you know what it is? It is the payoff. It's your paycheck for having to suffer through the scrutiny, the intense scrutiny when you're not doing well. The paycheck is, on the other side, is that if you're winning, there ain't nothing like it in a town like
this. It's the perfect way to put it, is if athletes that come in here, if they just can get a taste of what it's like to win, It is a drug, just like you said. It is addicting. You never want to go back to that. And so this what they experienced these last 15 games should be a huge lesson for them for what's to come in front of them. That they do not want to go back to where they were, because it was awful to start the season. And then they got a taste of what it's like around here these last 15 games. And you know what? The cool thing is that these guys, they're all kind of getting a lot of them the opportunities for the first time, especially in Fenway, but even just in the bigs. It was a little taste of what it will feel like if and when they make it to the playoffs, right? So they kind of got a precursor to what the intensity is like here when they get to the playoffs.
Did you see Brez on TV after game one? Sitting there just feeling good.
Very
too.
Emotional.
He tried to be a little more restrained than he was the night before. The night before, as I said, he was like the wild and crazy guy. He was like having the time of his life. But yesterday he was a little more restrained. You know who's driving me crazy? We'll talk about it later. I hate that Tom Werner's like all over the place. Now.
Why? This is what you've been calling for in order to speak to the media.
No.
You've said that literally every show since we've been on the air. Why doesn't John Henry speak to the media?
He's right, Rich. He talks
and you're bitching at him.
No, here's what I'm bitching at. Is that he hid his face when this team stunk, and now that they're doing great, he's getting in front of the camera. And that's yellow to me. Like, that is something that is so cowardly. You don't do that. Like,
and not only get in front of the camera, but, tooting his own horn.
Yes, exactly. We knew the whole time. Yeah, sure, it was great. Yeah, you were the guy that knew when they were in the toilet. Because I'll tell you what, Sam Kennedy didn't think that. Sam Kennedy came on here and was just like, nah, man, we may have to pivot. Craig Breslow even didn't feel that way after a while. And so that's why when I see Breslow feeling good, I feel I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? You dealt with just like I said, Ted, the paycheck to being in this town is that if you take all of the crap, you're going to take all the bullets, but you're going to get all the praise when you end up winning or you start doing well.
Right, man.
So I got no problem with Breslow
feeling
that
way. But that's not happening. I mean, Tracy is getting way more credit than Breslow, and it's led
he
by
should.
Rich.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you. I mean, and I don't know that he should. Especially after this Alex Speer article, so I want to get into this later.
Yeah, okay, so let's do that next, because Chad Tracy, it really is interesting how different he is than Alex Cora, and just how it truly seems like these guys, this team, needed a coach like Chad Tracy, and not someone who was more veteran-focused and would call out guys in press conferences the way Alex Cora did, who I think Alex Cora is a great manager and will be a great manager next season for a team. But this just seemed to fit so well. So, yeah, points to Craig Breslow on this move, and I'm starting to think it's inevitable. Even, like, if this team disappoints through the rest of the season, I think that you've at least got you're going to have to make a really tough case to not make this guy the manager now. So we will get to that and your calls next. 617-779-7937. We'll be back in two.
A 5-1 loss last night. The Baltimore Red Sox first defeat in 3 weeks.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, a three-time Super Bowl champion, Ted Johnson. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. You can go on Odyssey app also as well. Press that little microphone button and leave us a message. We'll play it later on. It is getting harder and harder every day for me to not give Craig Breslow a ton of credit. I guess I'm being stubborn with my take.
Very stubborn.
I am, but I still think I'm going to wait until after the trade deadline, which, you know, he doesn't have the best track record with. Let's see what he does. But if for some reason he ends up making a trade or making a move that is somewhat significant and the team ends up doing well this season and going into the playoffs and doing potentially well in the playoffs, we're going to look back and we're going to think that the ballsiest thing that he did and probably what is most likely going to end up being the best move that he made was getting rid of Alex Cora. And I would have never thought in a million years I would be saying that after he did that, after he fired Cora. I was like, dude, they're going to regret this. Cora's a great manager. This is really, really dumb. I'm sure this Chad Tracy guy is a nice dude, and I'm sure he's all right. But, I mean, you just got rid of a guy that is loved in this town. He's won a World Series. I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, not just Cora, six coaches, including Veritek.
Yep. Yeah.
And he hung in there, to your point, Rich, when nobody else did. The guy was 14 under. Maybe he had no choice. He was rumored to be headed for the unemployment line. But still, talk about the balls. You're 14 games under. I'm not giving up yet. And, by the way, he supplied Ranger Suarez, Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray. He had a great offseason.
He did, but when you look at it, though, you go, okay, well, this team was supposed to – he envisioned this team with Trevor Story, Garrett Crochet, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer being key figures in these
right.
games.
But he blames Cora for that.
But the point is, like, should we give Brezzo all the credit when you consider, like, he envisioned a different team that's playing out there right now?
Okay. I mean,
the secondary and third, you know, the third pieces are, you know, he's responsible for, but this isn't the team that he envisioned to start the season, is all I'm saying.
And by the way, let me just correct you. He didn't get rid of Veritek. They pussyfooted on Veritek. They knew that they would make enemies. But remember that with that whole weird thing?
Well,
like he wasn't actually. Yeah. It was like, well, we don't really. He's a part of the organization.
No, that's true. They said he was still hired. Yeah, that's true. they lied about that one.
They did lie about that. But now that he's here, and now that we've seen how you have not had really any major change in the roster since. He's been, I mean, Roman Anthony, if anything, it got worse. Roman Anthony, only like several games into Chad Tracy's tenure, ended up having to leave the team. So it wasn't like all of a sudden you got like they traded for an all-star or somebody who was, you know, a major piece that was unhealthy came back and is now playing well. This is literally the guys who have been sucking and were sucking when Alex Cora got fired. And now, almost to a man, each player has seemed to have stepped up their game. And to be honest, a lot of them are playing to where we thought, and I'm sure Craig Breslow thought, they were going to play.
Right.
And you have to, and Ted, as somebody who obviously has played under a lot of different coaches, like how much credit do you give a coach or a manager for bringing out the best in players that might not be playing up to their potential?
I mean, Parcells was, that was a Parcellian kind of trait. So I will give a lot of credit to that when I see it. And I, you know what, and it's hard to kind of deny that maybe Chad Tracy isn't having that impact. I mean, but here's, let me just give you some comments from Caleb Durbin about Chad Tracy. And you go, what's the secret sauce to Parcells? You know, I can give you a whole stories about Parcells. What made him made average players good, and what, you know, made him good players great when he was coaching? I can do that, but we're talking about Chad Tracy here, and this is what Caleb Durbin said about Chad Tracy. He says, "Look, win or lose, we know our manager. He's the guy who's leading us. He's going to be the same guy every single day, and that goes a long way, especially in a market like this. Like, is that's not the, like the craziest thing? All he's basically saying is he's giving him credit for being the same guy every day." And that, in a way, is kind of what I've been saying about Chad Tracy's secret sauce. He's neutral. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. Yep. And I think that relaxes this team, and they're playing better because of his neutral kind of stance every single day.
Now I'm not going to dispute that because I agree. That's one of his great traits. He's a steady hand on the helm. However, listen to this Wilson Contreras clip from a couple days ago. He's asked about Tracy, and this is the leader of the team talking now, and here's his response.
You got just 10 games over 500 with Chad as your manager. What has he meant to this group and this streak?
I mean, he's a nice guy.
I mean, now he goes on for a while, but that is so classic. It's like, yeah, we got Ted Lasso as our manager. He's addressed the team twice,
right?
According to Alex Speer in this article, once when he was hired.
And once
when they landed
an app, though.
Now he's a TeamWorks app guy. I mean, does that sound like Bill Parcells?
No, that is not. That doesn't. So it's like, right. I want to give the guy credit, but it's like, what exactly am I giving him credit for?
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
I'll tell you what he's giving him credit for. These guys feel protected. This is a younger team. There's not a lot of guys. We know that Cora used to call dudes out in the press.
Protected on TeamWorks? I mean, like, do they even see him? Does he even come out of the office?
He did the thing with Marcelo Meyer and, like, the young guys. Remember Cora did that at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, yeah.
And that became a big controversy. I think that Tracy knows the mentality of some of these younger guys and knows that a lot of them haven't been in the league long enough to be able to handle that kind of stuff. He's also got guys like Jaren Duran on this team who are very sensitive. And I think he knew if I'm going to get the best out of these guys, they need to know that they're protected under me, that they can screw up and not feel that I'm going to go up there and I'm going to call them out. Maybe they have a one-on-one conversation, but he sure as hell isn't going to yak about it to the press. And God knows, we remember when we talked about Jaren Duran going off on people in the crowd? Chad Tracy got, like, pretty fired up. Like, he was protecting his guys, even though I don't think what he was saying really made a lot of sense, but it doesn't matter. That's what you need to do if you're a manager.
He's a nice guy.
You know what feels different, and I'm curious if you guys agree or disagree, is that when Alex was here, you weren't really sure who was responsible for any, like, the hitting philosophy. How do they approach, you know, their at bats? Are they a small ball team, or are they a hit home run team? I didn't know who was responsible for what, and they
weren't aligned. I think they said
no
that
alignment.
You're right about that.
And this is in this Alex Speer article that came out today. Craig Breslow says it just feels like everybody's pulling in the same direction and operating in lockstep, and that's the truth. It feels like finally it's not some guys are getting coached this way, other guys are getting coached a different way.
Yeah.
One coach has this kind of way in which he wants to do it, where the other coach has a completely different. Everybody's doing the same thing for the first time, it feels like, all year.
And that's Breslow. That's his doing by firing Cora. Who deserves more credit, Breslow or Tracy? The answer
Tracy.
Is Breslow.
Tracy.
Teddy?
Breslow.
Thank you.
At the end of
Thank
the day,
you.
Breslow. Even though I argued against that a little bit to start the segment, it's Breslow.
Thank you.
It was a ballsy move. And listen, Tracy wouldn't be there if it isn't for Breslow. So, yeah, I mean, you give him credit for that.
Let me ask you this. Who are the two hottest players on this team right now? If you had to pick, who are the two?
Contreras and Durbin.
And who's responsible for those two guys?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, you're right. As I said, it's getting tougher every day to be down on Craig Breslow. All this stuff seems to be. But who got the best out of them?
Lorenzo.
Wilson's the leader. Yeah, Lorenzo.
Ding, 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 ding. By the way, there was one line in this article that stood out to me amongst all of them. And we'll continue talking about this. You know, Justin Slayton was talking about the old approach, which I'm assuming means under Cora as opposed to under Chad Tracy. And he said, paralysis by analysis becomes a real thing. Less thinking, more playing became the new philosophy. And how many times did we talk about that? And even it's almost like the IKF thing when he came out and was talking about there's so many voices and so many people around here. It just seemed like there were too many messages, and maybe that's all they needed was a guy to come in and to be able to just let them ignore the noise and play baseball again. And listen, they're on this team for a reason. They're obviously very good, or they wouldn't be playing for the Red Sox. And I think he let them tap into that. We've talked to Chad Tracy about that before, is that he didn't want these guys to have 14 different things going on in their head when they stepped up to the plate. And maybe a lot of that has to do with the drive line stuff that came in. It just seems like they all seem a lot more relaxed, a lot less scared. They're not playing, they're playing smarter baseball, I think, because Chad's not going to call them out because it just seemed like everyone was afraid. Mm-hmm. Like there was like, they weren't, they would be afraid. Like they're taking no walks or swinging at everything. It was really odd. Mm-hmm. And now it just seems they're a little more relaxed. And I like that because I do believe Chad Tracy's protecting them in postgame and not embarrassing them.
I mean, that's one thing that comes out in this article, this Alex Speer article. You can see Tracy and his staff's influence on their approach at the plate. They were swinging at so many out-of-the-zone pitches to start the season. Now they're more selective. The walk rate has gone up. The hard hit rate has gone up. The runs per game is all gone up because of the way they are approaching things at the plate. And it is interesting. You talk about streamline now, but they're getting to the ballpark. They're not getting there super early because that's the paralysis by analysis. It was almost like they would sit there in their thoughts at the ballpark all day. Remember when I was sitting there touting last year, how they were getting there early?
Right. Yeah.
This year's team, that wouldn't work.
They're better when they're delayed.
They're better.
The plane's late.
That plane got delayed and they had that issue with the plane. They've completely changed how they approach these games. They literally come in later now, and that seemed to be working.
That's
for
called
them.
The Jackson approach.
That's what it is. Again,
that's right.
He signs off
care.
On that.
That's right. Listen, I'm here when it's showtime, baby, and I'm gonna blow your mind.
That's
of course. All right, 617-779-7937. I'm wondering whether or not now it's just like it's Chad Tracy's job to lose. It's no longer Chad Tracy's job to win. I think the job is his. And I think ownership now thinks the job is his, and he would have to do something very drastic for him to lose this.
So wait a minute. Are you saying they're going to announce tomorrow? That
No. I think that at the end of the season, they haven't decided.
I got to ask you this, though, Rich. Is it a foregone conclusion that Breslow is returning? Because a lot of people say his job is still on the line.
Breslow, it's a little different. I think that most likely he's going to be here after this.
But I'm saying, if he's not here, how can you bring back this manager? So I'm just saying, I don't think it's just a fait accompli that Chad Tracy's coming back until I know for sure if Breslow's coming back.
I don't know. Is this Chad Tracy's job to lose? 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls. Also, LeBron is a dink and thinks that the world will bow down to him and do his bidding. This guy, what's going on behind the scenes with him picking a team is hysterical. And what's even funnier is that teams are no longer doing everything LeBron wants them to do. You did call it. We will get to that and your calls next.
He's a nice guy.
Now that we're 20 days in, there's nothing left. The teams are the teams. The information's the information. LeBron has everything he needs to make a decision. The conversations have happened. They're not, from my understanding, my sources tell me the LeBron James, his agent Rich Paul, that inner circle, they're not waiting for another domino right now. They're not waiting for Anthony Davis to get traded anywhere. They're not waiting for anyone else to move around anywhere. The teams, Cleveland, Miami, Golden State, Philadelphia, Minnesota, they're set. Those are the teams.
Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson in the Ketchus Law Studios. No fee unless you win. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. That was Shams Charania. Real quick, before we get to Shams, I do want to take this one call. Let's go to Michael, line one. Michael, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. First of all, thank you for everything you do. You're terrific and a very long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. And that doesn't mean always giving the good news. It means giving it from both sides. And I appreciate that. Season ticket holder here and sat through just about every miserable game at the beginning of the season through April, May. And I can tell you the first week in June, we were in winter coats and woolen hats and gloves and waiting to watch them lose. So I can tell you something shifted during the Yankee series in my mind, where prior to that, I was sort of ambivalent about Chad Tracy. And after that, I became a little more enthusiastic. And then we went through the Washington series. And, you know, there was a question about whether they were going to be, let's call it reversion to the mean there. And they were going to come back to being the same team that they were. They went on the road. And, you know, these guys have caught lightning in a bottle. And just being in the ballpark, and our seats are, I'll just tell you, they're directly behind the dugout, the first row. So you really get.
Oh, man, who are you?
Yeah,
wow, you're the one right behind the dugout?
No, come on.
My late father-in-law has had these tickets since 1967, and I took them over.
Wow.
So
oh, okay.
I walked
all right.
into a good situation.
All
right?
Hell yeah,
it was no dowry.
Don't give that up. Don't give that up ever.
Anyway,
are you right next to Stephen King?
Nobody else wanted to pay for him, but I jumped in.
Aren't those Stephen King seats? He's right there too, right? Right next to you?
I've never seen him, and I never care to see him. But that aside, I really felt for the first few months of the season that this was Murphy's Law. And, of course, the one year when I ponied up a lot of money, I was paying to see a S show over and over and over and over again that didn't end. My point to you guys, because I know your time is very limited, is that the dynamics in the ballpark, even after the Yankee series and in the middle of the Yankee series, and that have continued through every home game since they returned from this incredible road trip, is different. And you can see the interaction between the individual players and their teammates, but you can also see the interaction between them and the manager. So I believe, yes, he's earned it. And I believe that with the conclusion of this massive run that they've been on, the winning streak, that today, this off day, would be exactly the right time for the sake of the team, the players, all of the stuff that seems to be gelling and the enthusiasm and the stuff that's non-quantifiable through, you know, cybermetrics or, you know, everything that the game has become, that feeling that these guys believe in themselves, believe in each other, and can show up any night, any day to any team and win the game. And I think this is exactly the right time for the front office to inject a little bit of more juju in the arms of the team and the players and say, he's our guy, we're sticking with them, and that may be one of those semi-intangible qualities that keeps them winning and winning 3 or 4 or 3 or 5 or whatever for the rest of the season, and sends these guys not just on a wild card, but perhaps as division winners into the postseason. That's all
Michael, that's a great call. The only thing is now I almost feel like you're jinxing the season if you name him the manager, like right now.
What? Too soon?
All of a sudden, you're reversing course, man?
No. I never said that they should name him. I said it would be a nice thing to do because the poor guy's living in hotels and he's probably – but now I think it's his to lose. I've said this. I believe it's his job to lose.
That is surprising. That's his biggest fan right here.
What am I – dude, I don't know where Rich is with this, but
doesn't that feel like you're setting yourself up like for the world's biggest chance?
I would not do it. But I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and I've been saying it would be nice to do, but I don't think it's necessary.
I'll be honest too, Rich. I don't think you listen to Ken played Wilson Contreras' comments from the other night when he said Chad Tracy, nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
I don't think that is. Getting him a contract, with all due respect to Michael, because that was a great call, I don't think that's going to give a boost to the team. You know what's going to give a boost to the team? Is going out and get a big right-handed bat.
Bang. Yeah.
That's what's going to get this team juiced. Yeah. Not giving a contract to Chad Tracy. With all due respect to Michael, he feels like he's deserving of it, but that's what's going to get guys fired up.
And by the way, MLB's Mark Feinsand today reporting they're in the mix for a right-handed hitting catcher, a middle infielder or a DH, and a high leverage reliever. So those are the three things.
Like all three are just one of the three.
All three.
Man, I think this is going to be one of the hardest trade deadlines to maneuver, to navigate, to try and get a big deal done because of a lack of teams interested in selling. And then just Breslow, the pressure, there's a lot of pressure on him to do something. Can he rise up to the occasion?
Yep.
I don't know. I'm doubtful.
I don't know if you think the same way as I do, but I think a lot of times people give too much credit to team chemistry and how well everyone's getting along when they're winning. Like people look at these winning, look at how they're doing it here. This is amazing. They've got this great chemistry. And so sometimes I do believe teams and maybe even coaches and managers get a little too much credit because they're remembering the stuff that's happening while these guys are kicking ass and doing great and they're high-fiving each other. And look, they're buddies, they're pals. This is a great team. But I think with Chad, it's totally different because not only have we seen him take him from nothing and bring it up to something, but the results just in how they play the game is shockingly different. Fewer chase swings.
Right.
More walks.
More bunts.
Yes, more bunts. A lot more hard contact. Yep. It's a completely different style of play than it was when Cora is there, and it's obviously a winning style of play because they are winning games, and they're obviously hitting better.
But if we can be, I don't feel like all of a sudden Chad Tracy's come in and Breslow's like, Chad, put your imprint on this team. This is more of an upper management Breslow philosophy than Chad Tracy. I think is just doing what Breslow tells him to do.
He's got a few of his guys like Siegler, Chang. Tyron Guerrero, Siegler was big in that Yankee series.
But this philosophically, who do you think's more responsible for this philosophical shift?
Pitching and defense, and that Yankee series, they had Sonny Gray pitch. He had a no-hitter into the eighth. They had Toley with a no-hitter into the sixth. Mm-hmm. They're pitching. Jake Bennett beat Garrett Cole head-to-head in that series. Mm-hmm. The pitching that Breslow assembled was really the big story of that weekend.
Let's go to Jack on the Cape on line one. What's up, Jack? How's it going, my man?
Hey, Jack.
Good. How are you guys today?
Good.
So, previous caller, I'm a season ticket holder of 20 years, and I've watched the ups and downs and all the good times and, some of the bad times. And I don't know, when Alex Cora was released, I was relieved. If you look at it, 6 seasons, 3 of them were last place. You say he won a World Series, which is true. But did he really, what did he do to win that World Series? He came in November of 2017. That wasn't his team. That he didn't manage, he didn't groom that team. He didn't do it. That was a team he took over, and they were a talented team because they had an amazing season in 2017 and lost it. Great, good for him. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have so many losing seasons with a lot of talent. You have the worst defense in the league. You have some of the worst hitting in the league. And I'm not sure that it's a Chad Tracy, you know, thing, but whoever was talking earlier who said whatever it was, the you know, the culture is different in the team. The team is now fun to watch. They're playing from what it started in the beginning of the year when Alex Cora was there to what it is right now, and I was there on Monday night. It's like the team can hit. The team plays great defense, and the bullpen comes in and takes care of business. It's a good team.
Yeah.
And we were not getting performance out of the good team. At least half of, I mean, we were heading towards a fourth last place finish under Alex Cora out of 7 years.
And you're right. I know, you know what, Jack, that is a good point, because you do have to wonder, does Alex Cora get too much credit? Does he get too much credit?
Well, people loved him last year when he made the postseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came back last year and had a pretty good second half.
Sure did.
So it's just winning. I mean, you just have to win. That's it. I mean,
geez, that 18 roster was a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he did a great job having starters in the bullpen in the postseason, and probably, I mean, let's be honest, was probably using some of the Houston Astros methods year.
Bang on those drones, man.
But you look at that team's their average with runners in scoring position and guys on second base. It's unbelievable.
Like, dude, I'm looking at this roster now. It's funny because I pulled it up. I'm like, whoever got on this? Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale, David Price, Craig Kimbrell, Andrew Benintendi, Rafael Devers. Oh, my God. How can Rafi you not Devers? Win with them?
I don't think Alex Cora being fired, I think most people were okay with it. It run its course. It just, you could tell his comments that he just really didn't really want to be here or didn't like the team Good that point. He was being given. So it just it needed to end. That relationship needed to end.
Yeah, no question. And he's going to be very successful wherever he goes next. I totally believe that. He just wasn't obviously the right guy for this particular team this season. All
didn't,
right,
he didn't use Teamworks. If he had used the Teamworks app, he probably would.
That was the difference.
That's how Tracy does it.
You blew it.
That's how you send those 2 a.m. texts. By the way, I don't know if I want to be texted at 2 a.m., but I'm glad Chad Tracy did it. Well, maybe if their night's over at, you know, 11 o'clock, then 2 a.m. is not so bad.
But, Rich, if this was like a Philadelphia manager or coach, you would be ripping the, if you, this story came out that he's only talked to the team twice and he sends messages on a Teamworks app, you would be roasting this guy.
I don't know.
But you're so
if
in
I
bed
would.
With Tracy,
yes,
you're
would.
Like, come
no,
on.
No.
This is odd behavior.
Because my problem is with overmanagers. Like the dudes that were like Valentine when he came in and tried to micromanage everything and had them practicing different. Even like these guys are professional athletes. Like they're Major League Baseball players for a reason. It reminds me of when Francona, I've told the story before, Big Poppy was saying, yeah, I was in a slump one time. And I said, well, you know, like, how did you get out of it? And he goes, well, I remember Terry Francona came by when I was, you know, hitting warm-ups. And he goes, what do you think I should do differently? And he goes, you're David effing Ortiz. I'm not telling you what to do. And he said, in that moment, I realized, yeah, I am. And that's the kind of manager that Francona was at times. Like, he let these guys sometimes play baseball and didn't get in their heads too much. So, no, I think the two meetings are actually okay.
Like, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yes, he's a nice guy who doesn't bother you too much. All right, let's get to this LeBron thing because it's funny. We'll do that next. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. And unfortunately, Jaylen Brown thinks the people in Boston tried to assassinate his character.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yep. I'm just now seeing this.
Oh, boy.
He went on one of the millions of podcasts that are out there, but this one was called 19 Keys Save Yourself.
What?
I don't know what that is. It says, during a recent appearance on 19 Keys Save Yourself Tour, it says that Jaylen Brown discussed his time in Boston and admitted that the toughest part wasn't always what happened on the floor. So it says here, off the court, JB actively made efforts to impact the lives of the people of Boston. He was big in the community. He regularly used his platform to advocate for social justice, education, and economic empowerment. Still, he believes many people never really accepted him for who he was. And here is his quote. Quote, I walk as me. That makes things extremely heavy. It makes things extremely hard to carry on at times where I've got to be a certain way. I had to adopt that mentality. I had to adopt that to survive here, or I would have been crashed out. Hang on, real quick. Can I just stop?
Oh, dude, you're not up like, in my mouth, man.
You're not curing cancer.
Seriously, dude.
like whose life did you save?
Dude, when you got to beg for respect, and you just, all you do is complain about the just you're not treated the way you want. That's what turns people. That's why you don't get the respect you want.
He's the
all
most miserable multimillionaire I've ever seen. God, dude.
I think he's talking about Tatum here. What's this? Not about the fans.
Is that what it is?
No, whatever he is. It's just he's talking as if he's like somebody who is like fights every day to cure diseases.
So true, man.
And I'm like, dude, you play basketball. And you get paid more than almost any, I think more than any athlete in Boston or in New England. I think you were the highest paid until Tatum got his deal. You were the highest paid athlete, maybe even in New England history.
Dude, it's just the drip. Whatever. I mean, wet blanket. It is the heaviest wet blanket.
He
this
wasn't
guy
bad.
Is never happy.
This guy,
they're going to be better off without Jaylen Brown. I've said it. All right, I don't have to give you all the analytics, but this guy just brings it down, brings the whole thing down.
Stiz, you got dramatic. Give me some dramatic.
He brought
music,
Banner 18 up.
Oh,
he won the MVP.
Please
to bring it up. Come on,
the first line. It's so great. I walk as me.
Dude, well, that's true.
He thinks he's got all the answers to life, and we all have it wrong. We all view him one way, and he thinks we should be viewing him the other way. So he's right. We're all wrong.
Stiz, find the Lonely Shepherd off the Kill Bill soundtrack, if you don't mind.
Seriously.
The way he speaks about that, I haven't even finished his quote. I mean, it's like, oh, he's so persecuted. Oh, yeah.
I walk as me. No lies detected. He walks as him. What's wrong with that?
So, okay. He says, I walk as me. That makes things extremely heavy. It makes things extremely hard to carry on at times. Where I gotta be a certain way. I had to adopt that mentality. I had to adopt that to survive here.
Survive. Life is death.
Because I would have been crashed out. The way people be playing with you, the way they talk to you, it questions your confidence. The way they assassinate your character. And it's the norm. It's norm. I got to carry that while performing at a high level and being myself.
So true, man.
We don't know who he's talking about. It might not be Boston.
What was his name? The guy that always with the beard and you know, you have to walk those stairs.
Oh yeah. It's Kung Lao or not Kung Lao. Yeah, but that, Pai Mei.
Yeah, it's like we're all Pai Meis, you know? And we're all Pai Meis in his mind, man. Jeez. So persecuted, JB. Jeez.
I walk as me.
I love how he says, too, I would have been crashed out. Like, what would you have done?
A lot of people did. A lot of people crashed out here. People couldn't take it, you know?
You literally got to out.
But who's responsible for that? I mean, he's perpetuating us feeling the way we do about him. He doesn't realize his behavior and how it comes off, man.
You know what's so great? Like, I am a big defender of Jaylen Brown's game. Like, I think Jaylen Brown is a great player. And as a matter of fact, I think he's done great things for the community. But this makes it sound like truly he is like he jumped on a grenade and saved 50 people.
He's
like,
a social justice advocate. I mean, he was
but that's not
on...
okay. Great. I love the fact, and I've praised him for that. But this is insane.
He's a sensitive soul.
I don't know. Him and Kyrie Irving, aren't they? Yeah. Social justice. I don't know. Let's be honest.
Your spirit is an honor to come out and fight. Is an honor.
Thank you, JB.
Tim in Brockton does not like our Jaylen trash talk. All right, Tim. What's happening, man? How you doing?
It's like horrible talking points. It's pretty pathetic that you guys sit here and talk about an individual who can't defend himself all the time.
I agree.
Can't
pathetic.
Defend himself. He's like on
a
podcast show.
You're
this
hopping
is the corniest
on this bandwagon
ever.
Of every time that Jaylen Brown posts a story, you want to say something. And Ted, I can't believe you're acting like them, bro. Like I can't believe that. You, like, would you guys have this energy and say this in front of this man? No, you wouldn't.
Yes, yes, I would say
no problem.
It's cowardness, and it's corny, bro. You're right, it's corny.
I walk as me. That is like one of the corniest things.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about every day you're on here talking about Jaylen Brown. Like Mike Vrabel doesn't have a story.
Yeah. It's
well, we didn't talk about Vrabel at all.
Every day you're talking about Jaylen Brown for a month.
They keep piling on to him.
Yeah, because it's funny. This is pretty funny. You got it.
Nobody finds it funny. Do you read comments? All the Boston fans look at this guy.
Oh, really? Every Boston fan thinks that he was
bubble, in your little bubble, maybe the people that you're around don't like him. But if you go read the comments on every social media platform, nobody agrees with you guys. Nobody.
Tim,
Get on Reddit.
Hey, Tim, listen for one second. I said that this team would be better, and they should have kept him this year.
I have said that over and over. You know Jason Tatum's going to slip on his face this season. It's going to be
you and me. We're right here, baby. Tim.
Jason Tatum when he comes Tim. There. Everybody knows
Tatum.
It.
All right, Tim, we got to put you on hold now. Now we got to put you on hold. Okay, Tim, you and me, we're right here, Tim. Like, I don't think that Jaylen Brown should be on the Sixers. I think that this year, and I've said it 1,000 times, he should be on this team. This is corny as hell.
It's not like he's doing WWE. I mean, come on. He's just talking to some podcast about he did have it hard. Boston is not an easy place to play.
He was
outspoken.
He was assassinated.
His character was assassinated? Probably by the team more than the city. The way Tatum has treated this guy.
I do. You know what? Tim's right. This JB does bring out a different side of me. And I used to be a big JB fan until after the season when I just could not get over the this was my favorite year. That's what got me. I could not get over. This was my favorite year. It's like
this was my favorite season.
I couldn't get over it. That's what did me. Literally a month before he said that, I was saying give me JB over JT, and then that said that and I was out. I'm out.
Yeah, it's. I mean, listen, the basket. You can separate the basketball guy from the dude who thinks he's Sensei Wu. Like, this, by the way, that is an Ninjago reference for all you super cool kids out there. Yes, I walk as me. That makes things extremely heavy. Hard to carry on at times. I make more money than Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. You name it. Name the greats. All of the greats. I might make more than 5 out of those 10 combined than they ever made. You'll just never know what it's like to be me.
He's going to ride this all year. This is going to fuel him all season. Yeah. He'll be taking shots at the region, the team, the franchise.
It'll be great. That part will be fun. Like, I do like that part of it because I think that those Sixers-Celtics games are going to be a blast.
Those are going to be great. I can't wait.
And just real quick, I always find it interesting that if you say anything negative about JB and the JB defenders call in, they don't like JT. Very rarely do you get people that like both of them. Like, it's either one or the other.
It's true. The people feel they got to pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you got Paul George now, so he's your man.
Enjoy
now.
That, Pitts.
Enjoy
PG-13.
No, it's PP. Watch out. Pritchard's coming up.
Maybe Bradley Beal. Maybe BB. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Tatum's guy. Just
7 years ago,
buddies.
I'd have been okay with that.
Right.
7 years ago.
But Tatum likes him, so put him on the team.
Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. By the way, we got Tommy Curran coming up in about an hour. He is that means the beginning of football season
right around
the corner, baby. A lot of questions to answer there, including something I want to ask Ted when we get back about this upcoming season and what he believes this team is capable of without certain important members on the roster. We will get to that in 2 minutes.